A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" And he said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. And from anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. And Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." At any one time, a living language has features that characterize it, and generally the written language reflects aspects of the spoken language. Shakespeare wrote his plays in a form we call blank verse. And when we read one of his plays aloud today, it sounds distinctly poetic to us. But in fact, as Shakespeare wrote, he was using the speech rhythms of his time. The poetry was very close to the ordinary, everyday thought and speech patterns of Elizabethan England. Check it out. Look up Queen Elizabeth I's actual speech to her troops at Tilbury in 1588 and compare it to a piece of Shakespeare that's familiar to you. Well, the ancient biblical languages had their own patterns too, and they reflected the way people of the time thought and processed human experience. That's why much of the writings of prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah read the way they do. And the more complex the attempt to understand the meaning of human life and how our relationship with a Creator, with a God we call Creator, the more poetic the language becomes. Now, in recent readings, Jesus has been using a lot of metaphor and parable and symbol, and finally, the disciples, struggling to get their heads around the truth as Jesus was telling it, tried to nail him down. "Why do you talk this way?" Well, in fact, of course, Jesus has been using language and ideas very familiar to the people of his time. Sheep and wheat, disabled people and farmers, vines and fruit trees. Anyone trying to find meaning in human existence and how life and death can be linked to a God who is both Creator and Savior struggles to find a way of conveying those sorts of concepts, especially when the readers or listeners are not used to thinking about those sorts of things, but whose total interest is in survival in a time of poverty and oppression. And of course, the greatest skeptics in Jesus' time were the learned people, the Pharisees and the scribes, who prided themselves on their knowledge of Scripture. Their background should have prepared them for the words Jesus had to give them. But spiritually deaf and blind, with closed minds, they could not absorb the truth of Jesus. Their efforts to hold on to a position of influence in society, to exercise some control at a time of foreign domination meant that they lacked the one essential that gives significance to life. And that one essential is faith. Without faith, I cannot hear the message of Jesus Christ. And with the gift of faith, I can begin to hear and understand the stories that Jesus tells. Well, disciples are those who are willing to learn. And that willingness comes not from a closed mind, but from one fully aware of its weakness. God, give me a humble spirit so that I may hear your words and live your call.